Evening to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I know I've told you before that we're going to move our Ephesians series to here, but just waiting to Wednesday nights for a little while, but I've been just waiting and letting the Lord kind of lead and guide on what we're going to be preaching on. And tonight there's a verse here. It's a pretty simple thought, but something I think would be a good and a help for us. And especially when things are, I know we've had some different tragedies, and I know many of you can say that you're going through some difficult things right now, and I think this message might be a help to you. What does a thankful heart look like? What does a thankful heart look like? Now, you might say, Pastor, it's not Thanksgiving time, and I know it's not, but we're not supposed to just be thankful on Thanksgiving. Even the unsaved people do that. We're supposed to be thankful all year long, and Thanksgiving is a time when people turn their hearts to thanking God even more than usual, and his many blessings, and indeed, our lives are full of blessings. I like it when it says in Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of salvation." Selah. It daily loadeth us. You know, we get a daily loading of benefits. He said, "Well, I don't know what my benefits are." Start off by breathing. You're here today, and God gave you breath, and you know. But there are so many more things. We have prayer. We have a Bible we can read. We have the Holy Spirit of God that's helping us, and that doesn't even begin to talk about the physical benefits that we have. Many of us don't have any problem with our sight. I know we had to wear glasses, but we are able to see and able to hear, able to speak, able to do so many different things. And it says it daily loads us with benefits. It reminds me of the mercies of God, how they're fresh and new every single day. We have so much that we can be thankful for. And according to what the Bible says, and even a little bit about what we heard from Mr. Humbert's song, it says in verse number 18, "In everything give thanks." So I praise the Lord for everything. I thank the Lord for everything. Now, there's a difference between giving annual thanks and cultivating a thankful heart. As I mentioned earlier, pretty much, unless you got a really, really hard heart, or you're going through a really hard time, Thanksgiving time, you're going to find something to be thankful for. But it doesn't matter who you are. But God's people are supposed to be a little different. God's people are supposed to have a thankful heart. And I wonder what that looks like. And so tonight when we look at this, and I know some of us are going through things, some of us might not be going through things. The funny thing is sometimes the people that are going through the hardest things, many times they're the most thankful. They realize what they have. And they realize that the things that they're missing. And they realize that God has provided them more and how things could be so much worse. So what does a thankful heart look like? Let's look here. We're going to go ahead and read verses 16 through 22. But I think we're just going to focus pretty much on 18 tonight. "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." Now, just a little side note on verse number 22. You know what? Sometimes our appearances don't look very thankful. And if we're supposed to be thankful and we're not supposed to be murmurers or complainers, sometimes that appearance of evil, I know what it's talking about. That's why I don't want to be alone with a lady in a car by myself or in a room by myself many times. Because why? Because that could show the appearance of evil. But sometimes our faces, you can tell that, hey, look, there's an appearance of evil because of how unhappy or how unthankful you look or the responses that you look at, because you can tell the bitterness or the complaining spirit that sometimes people have, that murmuring that many times people do. But that's not the focus on tonight. Tonight's focus is how to have a thankful heart, or how to cultivate a thankful heart, or what does a thankful heart look like. And there's just a couple thoughts here. First thing I want you to see here in verse number 18, it says, "In everything give thanks." So I think the first thing is it is a continual thanks. So what does a thankful heart look like? It's a heart that gives thanks continually. And you say, Pastor, that's just so simple. That doesn't make any sense. It's sort of like, how are you going to get better at something? Well, just do it and you'll get better at it. But that's the reality of what's saying here. It says, in everything, give thanks. How are you going to have a thankful heart? You cannot get past this. You have to be thankful. That word give is in this verse is in the present tense. It is continuous. How often should we give thanks? The answer is yes, right now. That means everything. Should I give thanks right now? Yes. That's what it's saying continually. In everything, give thanks. And the Bible talks about how we should offer the sacrifice of praise. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And I'm wondering how many of us are continually giving thanks. It comes down to where I know that many times we're appreciative of things, many times we accept things, many times we get used to things, we expect things, but do we really, truly, continually, in everything, give thanks? Charles Haddon Spurgeon had an interesting quote that blessed my heart, and I pray it encourages you. He says, when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life, which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. And I like that beginning. When we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. It is a continual giving of thanks, or giving to thanks, that is a sacrifice of praise, and that develops a heart of gratitude. So how do I get a heart of gratitude? How do I become a person that has that heart of gratitude? We learn to give thanks. It's something that is just as simple as, hey, how am I going to be a better at this athlete, at the sport? Well, the more you do it, hopefully the better you become. How am I going to get better at telling somebody about the gospel? It happens as you give yourself over to the Lord, but the more you do it, and the more you do it, and the more you do it, you're going to become better at it. So how in the world am I going to have a thankful heart, or a life of gratitude, or a heart of gratitude? By giving thanks. When you don't give it, it's not going to be able to be developed. It's a continual thing, but not only is it continual, if you look at this phrase, it says, in everything give thanks, and that word give is in the continuum. It continually continues. It's an unconditional thanks. Not only is it continually, it's unconditional. You're never going to run out of things to be thankful for. Why is that? Because you're supposed to be thankful for everything. Thankful for him, in him, for everything. We give thanks in blessings. We give thanks in trials. And we find in scriptures the expressions for both. You think about it, the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So there you say, okay, yeah, every good gift, those are ones I'm thankful for. Every perfect gift, those are the ones I'm thankful for, because they come from God. What about the other end of the spectrum? Think about what it says earlier in the same chapter. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. So, you know, you're falling into a temptation, when you're falling into a testing, and even sometimes the temptation that comes from the devil is a temptation to do wrong. He says, count it all joy. Now, how can you count it joy when there's a temptation? How can you be thankful for that? Because you have a way out. You have a way to say no. You have a way to shut the door on it. I can be thankful that I have the power with the Holy Spirit, and I have the power of God that gives me the opportunity to not have to give in to that temptation. And then the next verse talks about how the trying of our faith worketh patience and all those different other things. But there's two different things here. When the good gifts is coming, we usually don't have a problem being thankful. After we get used to the good gifts, you know what happens sometimes? We forget to be thankful. We forget to say, hey man, I'm thankful here. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. If we don't develop that heart attitude, if we don't cultivate that, if we don't work at it and continue on doing it, you know what's going to happen? Sooner or later, we're going to stop giving thanks. And sooner or later, we're going to be like the Israelites. We got that manna from heaven. Manna tasted pretty good when there was nothing else around. Got that water that tasted pretty good until they realized that it came from God. And they, you know, when we don't have anything, we become very thankful. But in all reality, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. I think about the Apostle Paul who wrote this. You think about Paul gave thanks so often. He gave thanks when he preached. He gave thanks when he suffered. He gave thanks when he saw people to come to Christ. He gave thanks when he endured persecution. You say, how can you say that? Well, you looked at the book of Philippians, and in the book of Philippians, you know, it's written from the prison cell, and he's saying, rejoice evermore. And he is saying things like continually to give praise and thanks. We can be thankful. Paul endured persecution. He gave thanks. Paul faced ministry disappointments. He gave thanks. Paul saw Christians become spiritually mature. He saw other Christians not become mature. Guess what happens? All those different times, we see him telling us to rejoice and rejoice. Paul gave thanks. He did it continually, and he did it unconditionally. Do you want to be a thankful person? I mean, I think we all do. I know I do. Are we a thankful person? How do we become a thankful person? And I think it starts with this: giving thanks continually, and also giving thanks unconditionally. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So listen to those words: giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's continually and unconditionally. So that's what it looks like. What's the benefits of it? So what benefit? Look what it says here in verse number 18. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Right in the middle of rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, right in the middle of prove all things, hold fast, despise not prophesying, you see what the will of God is. He says, this is what my will for you, in everything give thanks. So there's a couple things I want you to think about. What's the benefit of having a grateful heart? First thing is you're living in God's will. The greatest thing that we can do is find out what God's will is for our life and do it. And specifically in the Bible, that writes out exactly what God's will is not often found. I know there's rules, I know there's commandments, but it doesn't say, this is God's will that you do this. It says that right here. So one of the benefits of having cultivated a thankful heart and a gratified heart and a heart of gratitude, and what it looks like is that means I want to live in the middle of God's will. And I say, what's the big deal? How is that a benefit? Well, you think about it, in the middle of God's will, all things work together for good. In the middle of God's will, Joseph can be sent to prison, and then Joseph can be made up to the high point of Potiphar's house to be sent, to the pit, to the Potiphar's house, to the prison, then to the palace. That's what can happen in God's will. Because inside God's will, God is going to bless. Inside God's will, God is going to use you for his glory. Inside of God's will, there is a limitless opportunities we have in serving for him. Not only do we give thanks because it is God's will that we do it, but we can give thanks because we know that everything that we do that falls inside of God's will can work together for good. Because the Bible tells us that in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So we can freely give thanks in all things because it's what God's will for us is to do. When's the last time we really gave thanks for things? And I know that many times when we say our prayers right before our meals, and I think it's good. I think we should. I am thankful for this, and I'm thankful for the food that you provided, and I'm thankful for this. But what about having a heart of gratitude? Realizing the things that we have are not things that we deserve, is not things that we are owed, but instead things that God has given us. This assurance of living in God's will means that we can be grateful and thankful people, but when we live in God's will, the second benefit is we become more like Christ. Let's go and take our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter number 8, it shows what God's purpose in our life is. So not only when we live in God's will, because we know what God's will is, we actually become more like Jesus. Romans chapter 8, look what it says in verse 29. Romans 8:29. We'll go ahead and read verse 28 because we just talked about it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And look what it says here. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So it's being conformed into the image of his son. So you think about it. So if I can learn to be thankful continually, and I can learn to be thankful unconditionally, and I think that I've seen people struggle with that, even probably myself. I've seen attitudes that people have had because they weren't really thankful in the spot they were. Things didn't go their way. They became very fleshly because it wasn't the way they wanted it done. And they weren't giving thanks, but instead they were showing their fleshly nature. So we see it continually, unconditionally, And then we come over here, okay, so if I'm thankful for that, what's my benefit? It means I'm living in the God's will. I'm living where God wants me to be. I'm in that circle. I'm in that place. And as that happens, you know what happens? We become more like Jesus. So we don't see a lot of spots in the Bible that says, it is God's will that you do this. But here it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is God's will for you. And so his desire, you can see here in verse 29, he says that we've been predestinated to be conformed into the image of his son. Now, I tell you that how I feel is God in his foreknowledge knew who was going to be saved and who wasn't going to be saved, because he knows everything about the beginning to the end. And those that he knew were going to be saved, and those, we all had a choice whether or not we're going to believe or not, but those he knew that were going to be saved, he predestinated them to become like Jesus. Because someday we're all going to be like Jesus. The sanctification process is, yes, someday I'm going to be like him, but how close can I get to be like him here on earth? Now, someday when we get to heaven and we are like him, we're as him, you know what? That's going to be something that he does. But what we do here in this world is we all start off as a babe in Christ, all still filled with the flesh, but now we have the Holy Spirit of God. And our goal and our job is to become as much like Jesus as we can here in this world. And that means that we must learn to be thankful. I see so much anger. I see so much bitterness. I see so many people not getting along. I see so many people have attitudes about their little spot, their little part of the world. But the Bible's saying, if we will just learn to be thankful, we will begin to live in God's will. And as we begin to learn to be thankful, we will begin to become like Christ. You think about Jesus in the highest moments of his life, he gave thanks. Think about in Matthew chapter 13 when he was feeding of the 5,000, and he says, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples. Another thing he said in John 6:11, and he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. In the blessing times, Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he was getting ready to feed 5,000 people with, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or 4,000 people with this many loaves and that many fish. He knew the blessings was coming. He stopped and gave thanks. But also think about the nights when before he was willing to give his body, the night that he faced his deepest suffering. Matthew 26:27 says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Luke 23:19, and he took the bread and gave thanks and brake and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He even on the hard days, even though he knew he was getting ready to go to the garden, even though he knew he was getting ready to face the beating, even though he knew he was getting ready to hang on the cross, guess what happened? He still took time to give thanks. And he took, not only is Jesus our example in thanksgiving, but he is the wellspring of thanksgiving. He's your source. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know, you say, Pastor, I don't understand, how in the world can I give thanks when something bad is going to happen? We can always rejoice in the Lord. We can always be thankful for his provision. We can always be thankful that we're here and God can take that and work that together for good so we can become more like Jesus, because that's our goal in life, is to become more like him. Our goal is to bring glory and honor to God. And what better way than being like the Son who always honored the Father? Not only is Jesus that example, he becomes our source. We can't always be glad in our circumstances. If someone's there riling in pain, they're not going to be saying, yes, I'm glad that I'm in pain. No, it's rejoice in the Lord. We have something we can be thankful for. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We can always be glad in the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for that. And I want to be thankful for that. And I want to give God the praise, and I want to give God the glory, and I want to give God the opportunity. So I like to, as we get ready to close, and I know we're done a few minutes early, and we're doing it on purpose, because I like to spend a few minutes praising the Lord and just saying things that we're thankful for. You can do it with somebody, you can do it individually, and in about 5 minutes, I'm going to close this in prayer. But we have so much to be thankful for. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about being an unthankful person. There's a difference between a grumpy person and an unthankful person sometimes. But usually a person who's grumpy has forgotten what they should be thankful for. And sometimes people's dispositions are always a little bit different. That's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. We can be thankful people. And the Bible says that in everything we should give thanks. For this is the will of God for your life. Are we people that are thankful people? Are we somebody who has given God the praise and thankfulness that he truly deserves? So we're going to take a few minutes, probably about 3 or 4 minutes. And if you want to come up to the altar and do it, or if you want to sit at your seat, that's fine. I'm going to get around the altar and just for about 3 or 4 minutes, think about the many things that I'm thankful for. Remember, we're supposed to do it continually. Remember, we're supposed to do it unconditionally. And the benefits of being that way is that we know that we're in God's will, but not only are we in God's will, we are also becoming more like Christ. So make a good use of these 3 or 4 minutes, and I'm going to close this in prayer. If you'd like to find somebody that you want to say you're thankful with, go back and forth. You can do that. If not, I would encourage you to spend some moments alone with the Lord just saying, thank you, Lord. Start off your salvation.